I'm standing at the site of one of the last remaining commercial orchards in Manningham, Petty's Orchard. It's northeast of the CBD in Templestowe. In 1853, my great-great-grandfather, Thomas Petty, immigrated with others from England and planted fruit trees here. The Doncaster-Templestowe area would come to be important agricultural land on the fringe of Melbourne, filled with orchards. The significance of this site and sites like this one is the history, because now Doncaster is fruitful in other ways, a developed suburb, but crises such as the pandemic have directed attention towards Melbourne's agricultural activities. As we connect, what happens at the fringe happens to our food. It's a ripple effect, from policy to plate.
Everything from fruit and vegetable growers to dairies and cheese makers.
Miranda Sharp is the founder and director of Melbourne Farmers Markets. She was talking about the majority small-scale farmers on the fringe of Melbourne who sell their produce at MFM markets. MFM is a social enterprise that has connected urban communities to Victorian farmers for almost 20 years. For many of the farmers, markets are a primary source of income. One advantage of farming on the fringe is proximity and access to markets and other urban activities, creating this mutually beneficial relationship that, where it could, strengthened during lockdown.
In the critical times, people really appreciated not just the quality and the freshness and the directness of the food, but also the experience, the thing in the neighbourhood that we were legitimately able to do and to share.
If we zoom out of those intimate urban exchanges to the periphery of Melbourne, we see the scale of productivity at the fringe and Melbourne's peri-urban areas. Michael Buxton, RMIT Environment and Planning Emeritus Professor, co-authored The Future of the Fringe, The Crisis in Peri-Urban Planning, published by CSIRO.
A lot of the city's food production takes place in these peri-urban areas. For example, Melbourne's peri-urban area provides over 40% of its food needs.
Professor Buxton said the peri-urban area is the peripheral urban land around the edge of an established city or regional town. Melbourne's urban growth boundary separates the city from its immediate agricultural areas, where Melbourne's 12 green wedges, which are somewhat protected, are wedged between urban growth corridors. Professor Buxton said the peri-urban area extends for 100 to 150 kilometres outward from the city area, so Melbourne has both an inner and outer peri-urban area. There's much variety in the values and natural resources found in Melbourne's green wedges and peri-urban areas.
And the big clash is that a lot of urban activities end up being put into the peri-urban areas and they change fundamentally. That's the easiest type of development is for developers to buy large-scale rural land, landscapes and simply build houses on them or other forms of urban-related uses such as residential golf courses or tourist areas. So it's much easier for developers to actually just continue with that building model.
So, Professor Buxton said, cities tend to extend outward by the potential of development, but small-scale lots are also significant. In The Future of the Fringe, authored by Professor Buxton and RMIT Sustainability and Urban Planning Associate Professor Andrew Butt, it said there had been a trend towards smaller, almost sub-commercial farms prominent in peri-urban areas. There were fewer land use conflicts evident in large-scale farming regions than in peri-urban Australia, where varied land uses threatened agricultural activities. Professor Buxton said some of these smaller farms were important because of the intensive nature of their production. Preventing further subdivisions and controlling the cost of such land was key to their viability. Further northeast of the CBD, in a green wedge, Paula McLeod grows and shares food with the community through human-scale farm Hurstbridge Farmgate, on land that has a long history of farming. Ms. McLeod said peri-urban land is seen as waiting in development, yet contributes so much to urban Melbourne. Ms. McLeod said some of the work they do is advocating to local and state government to try and change the perception of locally grown food.
So we had a lot of people asking us during COVID whether, you know, we could provide some vegetables or help out for people that were experiencing food security in some cases.
Conversations and research on food security and Melbourne's food bowl have come as the Victorian government reviewed planning for green wedges in its project, Planning for Melbourne's Green Wedges and Agricultural Land, begun in 2018. The project summary says it's committed to protecting these areas and strengthening planning controls. But this review follows fragmented approaches to planning for Melbourne's peri-urban areas and a continuing trajectory of competing pressures. At a local level, the connection between farm and food has been made in many communities.